Today's verse is number 9, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, the name of the chapter. Please repeat. Janma, karma, chame, divyam, evam, yo, vati tatvataha, taktva, deham, purna, janma naiti mam eti sorjana. Janma karma tame divyam evam yo vati tatvataha taktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. Janma kama tame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha takva deham punarjanma naiti ma meti sarjana. Janma karma tame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha taktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. Okay, go ahead. Janma karma tame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha taktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. Janma karma tame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha takva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. Janma karma tame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha takva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. Janma karma tame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha takva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. Okay. So, Mataji? Okay, so please repeat. Janma, birth. Karma, work. Cha, also. Me, of mind. Divyam, transcendental. Evam, like this. Yaha, anyone who. Viti, knows that vataha in reality taktva leaving aside deham this body punaha again janma birth na never eti does attain mam unto me eti does attain. Saha, he. Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Please repeat. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahmajyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activity of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Ananta Rupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction, although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. As stated in the Vedas, Purusho Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Narakto, Bhakta Vyapi Hridi Antar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita, personally, by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvam Asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, who says unto the Lord, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," is immediately liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tam eva viditvati mrityum eti nanyaha pantha vijyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is no other way to achieve this perfection. Svatashvatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation, simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Makam karochi vachalam thangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham bande sri guru dinatarinam janma karma tame divyam evam yo vati tat pataha takva deham punar janma naiti mam meti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, somebody once did, I've mentioned this before in classes, they did research and they found that this verse was the one that Prabhupada quoted the most, at least in his recorded works. So, that is an interesting point, that not everything Prabhupada said has been recorded on tape and so on. But anyway, in his recorded works and books, so on, what we have, this verse Prabhupada quoted the most. And of course, that's not very hard. I think there's feedback. Turn down the treble. Turn down the treble if you can. Hare Krishna. That's better. Turn up the bass, but turn down the treble. Turn down the master volume now. Hare Krishna. Hare. Have a look at the microphone, the amplifier. Turn down the amplifier. We'll turn down the treble. It's trebling. Hare Krishna. It was okay before, actually. Okay, that's fine now. Oh, it's still a little loud now. Did somebody want it turned up in the broadcasting station? Huh? Hare Krishna. Anyway, so this is Prabhupada's most quote, it's still too high. Can you not hear it? Feedback. Turn down the master volume. Just do what you're told. I've been using mics for 50 years. Hare Krishna. That's too much. Hare Krishna. Now that you've turned it down even more now. Turn it up. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare. Everyone can hear? Yes, if you can't hear on the radio, you can phone in. Okay, anyway, I know you mean well. So anyway, yeah, it's good now. It was too much trouble before. So, and it's not hard to find, understand why this would be such a popular verse. Because it's a great summation, right? It gives everything, the method and the result, in a very compact form. If you understand Divyam, Krishna's transcendental nature, that means if you realize transcendence, Krishna consciousness, if you realize the spiritual platform, then you'll go to the spiritual platform when you leave this body. So there's a hint there, Krishna saying, we all leave this body, so we should be a little concerned where we're going, right? So if you want the best destination, here it is again, another hint, the eternal abode, right? So we want to go somewhere eternal, and we will go to the eternal abode if we understand transcendence, and we have to give up the body, right? Upon leaving the body, you don't take birth again in this material world. There's a certain poetry there, because Krishna says if you understand like that, his birth is transcendental, then that your birth, you see, he's kind of continuing the theme. The person who understands my birth, my appearance, my janma, he doesn't take another material janma. So Krishna's woven together a nice theme there. of course, devotees know this generally, but in this one verse is something that could revolutionize human society by giving the actual goal of human life. Everybody has to be motivated, so we have to act for some reason. So here is the reason to act. We should act so that we become free of birth, death, old age and disease, and we go to the eternal abode. So of course, it's actually very simple. And it's interesting how Krishna says these things. Janma kama tame divyam. Because he says, everyone is taking birth, we've all taken birth in this material world, but if we understand his birth is transcendental. So Prabhupada, the transcendental nature of my appearance, the way Prabhupada has translated it is very interesting. He doesn't say Krishna's birth in this world, he says his appearance. Even though Krishna does say janma, he say janma karma tame divyam, my janma, and takvar deham punar janma, you'll never get it after giving up the body, takvar deham, another janma. So Krishna uses birth, but Prabhupada, in the word for word, often the word for word wasn't directly done by Prabhupada, was done by Prajumna or some Sanskrit fellow. And here, but Prabhupada, in his translation, makes sure that we understand his birth is an appearance. He's an avatar, Krishna avatar. So avatar, one who descends. That's badly translated in English. Sometimes they think that avatar means incarnation, you know, which means to go into a carnal. You know the English word carnal, carnal desire, like bodily desire, incarnation. So if you use avatar, incarnation, if you translate avatar as incarnation, you might think that Krishna is taking a material body. You know, the Purusharam incarnation, or somebody's incarnation. We are having reincarnation. We're going into another material body again and again, reincarnation. But Krishna is not incarnating. He's coming in his transcendental body. Prabhupada makes that very clear. And of course, you're all experienced devotees. Krishna is non-different from his form. Krishna and his body are non-different. So when he appears in, as Prabhupada translates, his original form. And usually the Sanskrit of original form is swarup. Swa means own, and rupa means form and also constitutional quality. So Krishna's swarup is non-different from himself. It's his own form. So the living entity also has an intrinsic form. One of the deviations that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Bhaktivinoda and all the Vaishnava acharyas have countered is the conception that the soul takes a spiritual form in the same way that he takes a material form. This is a mistake. Jivera svarupoi nichera krishnadas, or krishnera nichadas. People quote it different ways. But we have a swarup too. And Prabhupada in one letter to Rupa Nuga explains that it's dormant within the soul. Just like he uses the example, just like a tree is dormant within the seed. When the condition is right, the tree will sprout from the seed. So that is the swaroop, if you like, of the bij, of the seed. So we all have a swaroop. One of the deviations to think is that you get a form in the same way that you get a material form. That means that the spiritual world and the spiritual body is actually alien to the soul. And this is, and they even go further, these apasiddhantic sampradayas, in saying that the guru gives you form by some kind of siddha pranali that they've concocted. You will be a peacock, you will be a cow, you will be a tree. You're lucky, I'm going to make you a gopi. So this is all the guru, so-called guru, is thinking he is dispensing Krishna swarup. So this is Mayavad. Mayavad thinks that the soul is just a spark of sat. It has no chit, has no anand. But of course, Krishna says in the Gita, apariyamitastvamyam prakritim vidimeparam, that the jiva is from the superior potency. It is none different from Krishna. Krishna and the jiva are the same. So Krishna has a swarup, and he has multifarious, endless swarups because of his unlimited size. But the jiva is unlimited in numbers, but limited in size. However, when the soul is liberated by the grace of Krishna, it becomes practically equivalent to Krishna. He attains, and in that empowered state, he can relate to the Supreme Person, right? If the jiva remains just a little spark, and the Supreme Lord is unlimited, how can there be a interplay? But the Supreme Lord empowers the jiva. We've discussed this in Bhagavatam classes, but there's one power he maintains, and that is the jiva cannot create another creation. You understand? This creation, we learn from Bhagavatam and Gita, there is the Golok, then there's the Brahmajyoti, and then there's Haridam, places of Narayan and all the different incarnations. That is the eternal realm. And all those realms, they are situated within the Brahman effulgence, the Brahmajyoti of Krishna. That is the eternal abode. And then in one section of that abode, there is Mahavishnu. And within eternal time, he has created the Pradhan. The Pradhan is also spiritual. It is emanated from Mahavishnu. So that is entirely spiritual. But Mahavishnu is consorting with Ramadevi, his Swarup Shakti, the expansion from Radharani, and in Yoga Nidra, which is a form of mystic slumber. And in this mystic slumber, just like Krishna, ultimately, Krishna Bhagavan, Swayamrup Krishna, is emanating the Brahman effulgence. So in this mystically lower state of Yoga Nidra, we can say, for the purpose of understanding, he has emanated the Pradhan energy. So that is still entirely spiritual, but it is the basic substance of matter. So that is also the eternal abode. It's called the causal ocean, also many times, or the Karuna Samudra in Sanskrit. And also, it's also called the Viraja River. And when the living entity, as Krishna says, when he's understood the transcendental world, when he's grasped it by direct perception of his purified consciousness, by the grace of the Lord and the development, the manifestation of his Swarup, then he, it is said that he symbolically takes, or figuratively, he takes a last birth in the Karana Samudra. And then after that he attains Vastu Siddhi. Now this is about going to the eternal abode. So Vastu Siddhi means that now all his material body, of course, changes, but his mental body, composed of mind, intelligence, false ego, of course, if he's his devotee, then ahankara will be dispelled. But the last remnants of his material jacket of mind and body is washed off in the Karana Samudra, and then he enters his natural role in the transcendental abode. So this is the actual goal of spiritual life. There is below Vastu Siddhi. This Vastu means like cloth or position, or Vastu Shastra, or means covering in different translations. But there is Swarup Siddhi below that. This is discussed in detail in Jiva Dharma, and I encourage everyone to get Jiva Dharma, it's there. Below that there is Swarup Siddhi, Swarup, as we say. Nichera Krishnadas, we have a Swarup. We have a Swarup. So Swarup Siddhi is attained at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti means a substantive spiritual ecstatic emotion. It comes after a Shakti. A Shakti comes after Rag. And Rag should be manifest by good Vaidhi Sadhana, with a view to attaining attraction. So a Shakti leads to Bhava. Bhava Bhakti. This is a platform of Uttamadhikari. Uttama. Ut means above tama, above ignorance. So when you are well realized in Krishna, then at the stage of Bhava Bhakti, that's when you will gain deep realization of your spiritual form, your Swarup. So, but that is below Vastu Siddhi, because a Swarup Siddhi Bhakta, and that means a Siddha Bhakta. A Siddha Bhakta means that he has realized his relationship with Krishna. It is manifesting, and he is entering into relationship with Krishna in his spiritual form. And because he is entering into relationship with Krishna in his spiritual form, then that bhava condenses. The example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that just like you boil molasses and so on, and then you get rock candy. So you boil down the sugar from the sugarcane juice, and when it goes solid, this is like prem bhakti. So at that point, that is the boiling down of bhava. Bhava is also called prema rujuks, the root or the of prem. So acharyas, particularly Rupa Goswami under the direction of Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami, they have given directions how to attain this stage. And it is very clearly stated that when you attain Bhava Bhakti, then this is when you will never take birth again. Bhava Bhakti, there are 9 symptoms given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. And Nama Sada Ruchi, you always have taste for chanting, you always have desire to serve, that not one moment should be wasted. You're completely detached from material attraction. So they can be split up, those 9 symptoms, into like complete attachment to spiritual activity and complete detachment from material activity. So bhava bhakti is that. The devotee, he is not necessarily bound by the strictures of sadhana bhakti, which is regulative. You must do it constantly or else your dedication, your rag, your attraction to Krishna will fall away because we have so much conditioning. But he is actually free of his conditioning. He's uttama, ut above tama, above material ignorance. His purified soul. So that is attainable. We should not think. We should be enthusiastic and confident and patient that that is attainable by us. And the examples given in the Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and all the great devotees, they explain this. And the path of Rupa Raghunath, that is described, Jiva Dharma, Lord Chaitanya gave the internal method of bhajan. And it means siddha lasa. It means that the motivation, the propelling motivation of the devotees, sadhana, vairi and rag, is that he wants to attain this. We shouldn't think that I will mechanically follow vairi bhakti, going to Mangalarti and chanting my rounds and doing some practical service in the temple, and that automatically I will. Now you get some sukriti and no doubt some purification. However, if you really want to catalyze, like in a chemical reaction, all the chemicals are there, but then they put a catalyst in and it makes the reaction happen. That is your desire. So therefore Lord Nityananda has explained that he has opened a selling place in the market. He is selling the holy name. That might sound extraordinary. How can you sell Krishna? Krishna's not for sale. No, but then Lord Nityananda, this is one of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains how to purchase that holy name, how to purchase Krishna, and that is lobdha, desire. It's like in the material world, if you want to climb Mount Everest, you have to have a very strong desire to go through all that rigmarole. If you want to attain, if you want to be a great musician, you have to go through so much practice. You have to dedicate yourself. You cannot accidentally become a great musician or automatically. You have to really apply. And that means you have to desire the perfection. So, therefore, in Krishna consciousness, the path of Rupa Raghunath, the internal path of bhajan, is that, siddhalas, that you are hankering for perfection. And Krishna explains that it's in the Upanishads, eko yo didadati kaman, that nicho nichanam chaitanas chaitananam. There's one supreme eternal and there's one supremely conscious eternal. And he is fulfilling the desires of all the other tiny eternals. That's you and me. He's fulfilling. So if we actually want bhava bhakti, if we want to progress beyond the neophyte condition, the essential thing is that we desire. Right? Just like somebody wants to be a good sitar player, he has to have the determination, or else his practice will be lax, he'll be distracted, spend his time in the movies instead of practicing at home after work every night, and so on and so forth. But if you have the desire, then you get down to it. I remember I know one musician. He was a very good bass player. He was a jazz musician. He taught me musical theory, or at least he guided me. And he told me that he taught many people how to play trumpet, how to play different jazz instruments and so on, because he was a specialist in jazz. And he told me that he had many students, and some had a natural fluency. They could pick up things. But he told me about one. He said this person really at the end, at the beginning, was not very good at all. He didn't have a good ear. He didn't have a good coordination, so on. But he really wanted to be a good trumpet player. So he practiced and practiced. And that friend of mine told me that trumpet player became a very good trumpet player. Whereas the person with the great talent or natural talent just took it for granted. So, that is lobha, that is siddha vilas, hankering. That is the prescription of Rupa Raghunatha. That is the internal path. We follow Vaidhi sadhana, we hear and chant about Krishna, we contemplate his transcendental nature, his transcendental appearance in this material world. We contemplate all those things, but we also desire that we should realize that. That brings us to the stage of Bhava Bhakti by the grace of Guru and Krishna, Sadhu Sangha, Hari Guru Vaishnava. That brings us by their grace. They want to give us perfection. Lord Chaitanya, he's standing there, right, at the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have broke open the storehouse of love of God, and the more I distribute, the more the supply comes. But I'm standing here saying, who will take? Who will take? Huh? So we have to say, yes, I will take. Lord Chaitanya is not like forcing it. He's not interfering with your independence. But he is saying, you apply to me. I'm Namo Mahavadanyaya. I'm the free, I'm the most liberal incarnation to distribute love of God. But you come, you ask, you go to the marketplace and you ask, yes, I want the holy name. And that means discipline yourself from anything that is distracting. And then you will realize Krishna. Krishna is happy to reveal himself to his devotee. That is the nice thing about friendship, isn't it? Sharing intimacy, ideas. Huh? If you have a friend but you never discuss what you think with your friend, what kind of a friend is that? That means it's very formal. So Krishna communicates to his devotee, and he communicates happily. We are made for that relationship with Krishna. This is Vaishnavism, personalism. So in the beginning, as Prabhupada says in the purport, it means to hear and chant. Shravanam Kirtanam. This is Rupa Raghunath. You hear and chant from the correct source, as Prabhupada explains. And this is the start of this chapter. Evam parampara praptam. So you can hear about Krishna, and in that way you will realize Krishna. But it should be from Hari Guru Vaishnav. It should be from the Shastra. It should be from the sadhus and the sincere devotees. And it should be from the qualified guru. And that will resonate in the heart and wake up the Krishna Prem. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadakabanai. It's already there. Shravanadi Sudachite Karidya Udai. But you have to supply that application, that desire. Not an automatic process. Yes, automatically you'll get some benefit coming to the temple, paying your obeisances, doing some service. But if you want to go to the higher platform and you want to go to the transcendental abode, then you have to apply the path of Rupa Raghunath. And that means you have to hanker. Vipralamba Seva Bhav, right? I, Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram, right? I am the servant of you, Nanda Maharaj. But now I'm wanting, right? Nayanam Gladasu, Govinda Virahename. We have to understand and contemplate these higher realms of bhakti that will bring those feelings from our heart. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, all the great devotees, Maharaj Ambarish, they all have the desire to realize Krishna. And if you realize Krishna, you realize your Swarup. That is also another apasiddhantic idea, that people, they take some akadadas bhav at a very immature, unqualified stage, a perversion of the external path given by Dayan Chandra under Vekreshwar Pandit. There's the internal, external path. And then they meditate on themselves in some way. Now, there's a story about many years ago in the time of Prabhupada, there was one sannyasi, Prabhupada was unhappy about this. He took this Siddha Pranali Diksha. He thought this was part of the process. It's actually part of the process, Dayan Chandra Vakreshwar Pandit. It is called Rasa Upasana Vaidi. Anyway, so one day a devotee came into his room and he was perched on the arm of the sofa. That wasn't me, by the way. That was the cameraman, if you were listening on the radio. Anyway, he was perched on the end of the sofa. And this devotee asked, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm practicing my swarup. I went to a guru and he told me in the spiritual world I'm a peacock." So this external approach is nonsense, especially in the perverted form. So the other form has validity actually, but it is not the general form of the internal path given by Rupa Raghana. So one interesting thing here in this sloka also is that somebody may say, well, why does Krishna come in this covered way? Like some religious systems, they say that God will come again through the clouds in the sky, there'll be trumpets and all those kind of things, and he'll come on a big horse. So he'll announce his arrival. So somebody may say, why does Krishna, when he comes, when he appears in this material world, why doesn't he make it more obvious? Right? So they're thinking visually. They've come from the clouds, from some imagined heavenly region beyond the clouds, some primitive idea like that. But actually he does make it very obvious to the devotees. But he doesn't disturb those who want to be atheistic. How does he make it obvious? By the Bhagavad Gita. People are thinking that when Krishna comes, he should come, there'll be a big bright light and he'll just appear. Here I am, I'm God. Huh? Some man-made religious idea. But actually Krishna comes, and those that study the Bhagavad Gita, they realize that here is the light of the Supreme Lord. This book is 5,000 years old. It's not going out of fashion. And hopefully it'll still be read at the end of Kali Yuga in certain realms of Vaishnavism. So this is an important point, that the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedic literatures, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Vedas themselves, these are all the light. But the atheists, they can find a way to dismiss it. You see? So if you want, that's why Krishna, he doesn't disturb the atheists. If you want to be an atheist, you can remain an atheist. And you can say, oh, this is just bizarre stories. This is just mythology meant to bewilder people. But those that receive this in disciplic succession, and they practice under the direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, they realize the truth of this, you see. So that is what is meant. Janma karma tame divyam, like you're all devotees. So you all have your own realization of Krishna, directly and personally. And that's what sustains you. But we should be progressive, we should move further along. And therefore we should study nicely. Janma karma tame divyam, evam yo vati tattvataha. So this is an important point, in truth, that how does Prabhupada exactly translate? The transcendental nature, tattvataha. Yes, in the word for word, in reality. You come from the illusory condition to tattvataha, in truth. So, this is important. You can never know Krishna completely. Krishna is unlimited. But you can know Him in reality. Krishna is an unlimited subject. So therefore the devotees, in the stage of sadhana and in the stage of siddha-bhakta, they are satatam kirta yanto mam yadantasya dridabrata. They're always hearing and chanting. They're always discussing Krishna. They're always sharing their realizations of Krishna. Tashyanticha romanticha. And therefore they take great pleasure in this. So Kevalananda Kanda, Naratan Das Thakur, that Lord Chaitanya has given a process that's very blissful. You take purified foodstuffs, you give up sinful activity, regulative principles, and you regulate your Krishna bhajan, and you adopt the mood of Rupa Raghunath. Particularly, a very high level understanding is Vilap Kusmanjali, written by Raghunath Das, where he explains, and the whole, it is many verses, and he's, even though he is Manjari, he is one of the Astamanjaris, he is praying for the service of Krishna. The mistake is, and that is called Vipralamba Seva Bhav, that the devotee, in his hankering for perfection, he doesn't consider he has achieved perfection, but wishes to achieve perfection. Just like if you think, I've achieved skill in my musical ability. I've come to the end point of playing the sitar. Then your practice will become less. But if you think, I haven't really mastered the instrument, then your practice will be driven. So this is very important. What to speak of the perfect devotee, they're feeling like that. So how we should? Actually, the more perfected devotee, they have more desire. The problem with the sadhaka is that we don't really have that hankering. So we should cultivate that in the association of good devotees. And we should hanker in the same way that by controlling our mind, like you can hanker for something if you decide to hanker for it. In the material world, people are like a bit dull, carried here and there. They get their desires from the television, and they go through life like a billiard ball being bounced around on the pool table. But the devotee, he desires, he exerts his will. I will desire. I will surrender. Material motivation, I want to be free of material suffering, I enjoy the association of devotees, I like being a devotee, all centered on the self, that will not sustain us to perfection. we have to desire perfection itself. Just, I want to get free of Maya. That is a negative. That may be good at the beginning, but we should desire. And then Krishna will reveal transcendence. We'll touch transcendence. How is that attained? Another method, besides desiring and exerting our ability to desire, is that we should understand in the second verse of the Shikshastaka, Nam Namakuri Bohuda Nivasha, your holy name has all potency, but I don't have a taste for chanting. So, that should be the root cause of humility. We should consider, I don't really want to increase above 16 rounds. I don't really want to expand my chanting on ekaraji. I know that it's there. So that should teach us that we don't have that hankering. It should make us humble. We should examine ourselves. Of course, you're all very good devotees. You're coming to class and you're hearing, and no doubt you're chanting nicely. But if we find I'm not desiring or don't have the taste, that means that we should be humble. That should remind us that we're on a lower level of bhakti. And then the next verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sestana. So when we understand I don't have that hankering, that is the root of our humility. I'm not in the position of full hankering. So no matter if people are giving me respect and giving garlands and so on, and I'm supposed to be a big member of some committee, but if we examine ourselves and we think, I don't have that hankering, then that should remind us that we're still on the lower level. And that should make our impetus to be humble. Trinada Pisanichena. And that is lower than the straw in the street. That means the straw, the example is given that the straw will spring back up when it's walked on, but the earth doesn't. And then that you'll give respect to everyone, but you won't expect on yourself. So how you can give respect to everyone? Sometimes people give classes, you should tolerate. You can tolerate people that may upset you or may speak badly about you or this and that, if you remember one thing, that they are part and parcel of Krishna. You see, if you think, I'm a devotee of Krishna but I don't like him, what does this mean? I'm a devotee of Krishna but I don't like this part and parcel of Krishna. Do you understand? So of course that person may be giving you so much trouble and so on, so you may neglect that person, you may be neutral, but you should never be inimical. You should never take that person as enemy. I don't like that person, I'm going to get him back, I'm going to get revenge. Because that means you're trying to get revenge on Krishna, a part and parcel of Krishna, right? So, if you want humility and tolerance, like in that verse, it comes from the understanding that all living entities and energy belong to Krishna. And if you actually want devotion to Krishna, then you have to be devoted to the part and parcels of Krishna. You can't say, I like your body, but I hate your finger. Right? Because that's the example, right? We're all Ansa, part of Krishna. So everyone is part of Krishna, in that sense, separated part and parcel. So you can't say, I love your body, but I don't like your nose. No. You have to have an understanding, appreciation. So even if you think this person is giving you trouble, you should just tolerate because that person is Krishna, a sample of Krishna. That is the philosophical, transcendental, madhyamadhikari platform of tolerance. It is not just a sentimental thing, I'm going to be tolerant. No, I am tolerant because that person is part of Krishna. So if I'm hating that person, in part I'm hating Krishna. And I'm still on the material platform of friends and enemies. That's what Prahlad said to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, oh, you're studying nicely, Prahlad. I think it was Amaka and Sananda, his teachers. He said, no, I don't like it. He told his big father, I don't like this teaching. They're teaching me friends and enemies. For me, everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is part of Krishna. So that's Madhyamadi platform. And that is the start of Vaishnavism, Madhyamadikari. Below that, Kanishtadikari, friends and enemy, no understanding of Siddhanta, then Prakrita Bhakta. He's called Bhakta because he accepts Krishna as the Supreme Lord, eternal form. But he has no understanding, he has no Sambandha Gyan, he doesn't have philosophical understanding. So therefore the Bhagavad Gita and the Acharyas are giving all these things, these pointers. And if we contemplate them, the Prabhupada's purport is wonderful, then we become purified. And we come to the platform of actual devotion, Madhyamadikari. And we become liberated. And then anathas become practically destroyed. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. If you hear Bhagavat philosophy, then practically speaking, all your impediments will be dispelled. So you should hear from the Acharya, you should hear from the Sadhu, hear from Hari Guru Vaishnav, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. They can make everything clear. So Prabhupada is wonderful. That's why evam parampara praptam, the knowledge must be heard from realized devotee in parampara. So I think that's just some of the points from this verse. Take birth again in this material world. And we should be inspired, right? We should be inspired. Now an interesting point is, Lord Chaitanya, final point on this is, that he says, Janmani Janmani Ishvare, in the fourth verse of Shikshastika, I'll take my birth, I don't want anything. And this is what Uddhava said to Maitreya, I don't care for anything in this world, I just want to serve Krishna. I don't want liberation, muktipade. I don't want anything like that. I just want to the service of Krishna. Because one of the pillars of ignorance, five pillars of ignorance, one is that we take happiness to be our happiness. Actually, happiness for a devotee means to satisfy Krishna. So, this verse, it says that, I don't care, janmani janmani, I'll take birth again. But then when we, so that's the mentality of a devotee portrayed by Lord Chaitanya. But here, in this verse, Krishna says, Takva deham puna janma naitimam, he comes to me. So that the devotee leaves to Krishna. He has the mentality, I'll take birth again and again. But Krishna has the mentality, let me take him from this material world. Do you see? Do you see the difference? So that's the devotee, that is surrender. If Krishna wants me to stay here, okay. If Krishna wants me to take a final bath in the Virajara river and go to the spiritual world, I'll go there. And then if I go there and Krishna says, I want you, I need a pujari in Krishna Balaram temple, you please take birth in this family. Then the devotee is ready to go there. Because once established in Krishna Prem, this is very clear in the 8th chapter, Once you attain Krishna, attain the eternal abode, then you never take birth, you never come under the influence of the Maya Shakti. Once the Swarup has manifest from the soul, then that spiritual state, the Maya Shakti cannot cover ever again. So we should be inspired that this is available to all of us, and the process is to hear and chant about Krishna and desire perfection. Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Sadhu Sangha Ki Jai. So, we'll open up the floor for discussion, points, questions, whatever. You look like you were going to. Just go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You said that when we go back to spiritual world, then we are going to have to come back. But when Krishna sends him back for some assignment, then he will come back, right?
Yeah, but he won't come under the modes of material nature.
So he will not be affected by Maya?
Absolutely not. Once you're established in Krishna Prema, there's no way Maya. Once you're under the protection of Yoga Maya, once you're fixed in Krishna's service in that level, then there's no question.
Prabhupada says that Maya cannot touch me. That means he's coming from there.
Huh?
Prabhupada says Maya cannot touch me.
Yes.
So that means he is not spiritual world.
Maya is nothing compared to Krishna Prema. And Maya, she is expansion of Srimati Radharani. Why would Radharani want to take you away from Krishna? Right? That is a very poor portrayal of Srimati Radharani. Well, yeah, because you don't have taste for chanting, verse number 2, Shikshastika. Well, because that is the nature of Krishna. Like I say, Krishna, he has all qualities in unlimited length. Krishna has unlimited Shakti, but he also has unlimited humility. So he doesn't misuse that Shakti. He doesn't. So the nature of the soul is like that. The soul is pure. It is not a controller. Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. So that is humility. So humility means that you don't try to be a controller. In this material world, people are proud. They think, I want to be the number one, I want to be the prime minister, I want to be the big dog, right? I want to be the big monkey, right? You know, the monkeys, they're always fighting to be the top dog or the top monkey. So they're puffed up. I control this length of toilet. Right? But the devotee doesn't try to be a controller, because he realizes Ishavashayadam, everything is controlled and owned by Krishna. So when we understand that everything and everyone belongs to Krishna, this is Duskritina, four types of Duskritina, don't surrender. Duskritina, mischievous. So if you think that this Madanga belongs to you, then you're mischievous, correct? I'm not saying it's the case, but because it belongs to the temple. But if you say, no, it belongs to me because I've got hold of it, because I played it last night, then you're mischievous. So in this material world, everyone is claiming the creation, or some part of the creation, belongs to me. So devotee doesn't try to be a controller. Everything is belonging to Krishna. Let him be Parameshwara. Let me be Dasa Das Anudas. So the devotee doesn't adopt the mentality of being a controller. That is humility. That's another aspect of humility. So it comes from philosophical understanding. Everything is there. Also another point, in same Ishupanishad, cha vidyam avidyam tadvedo vayam chayas, that if you understand how material energy is and the conditioned souls, how they are thinking, and you understand the nature of the spiritual world, then you can attain the spiritual world. You should understand what is Maya, what is the condition of conditioned life, and you should understand the emotions of the spiritual world, the activities of the spiritual world. If you have a good understanding, then you become liberated from the Maya Shakti. That is the light of knowledge. Tama means darkness. So when you have spiritual understanding by grace of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, then you become enlightened. You know the darkness of Maya cannot touch you. And one of the primary aspects of the darkness of Maya is to think that there's five pillars of ignorance. One is bodily identification, to think that you're the body. So that's a form of lack of humility. You claim this body is mine. Yes, I can belong to Krishna. Second one is to think that the happiness of this body and mind is happiness. So in devotional life we think the pleasure of Krishna, we perform kirtan for Krishna, for his pleasure. We offer foodstuffs to Krishna for his pleasure. So that is defeating the second absence. Then the third pillar of ignorance is to think oneself the proprietor. You see, that comes that I own this and I'm the controller. Number four. In this way, there's different pillars of ignorance that bind us. So if we understand the falsity of this, and the basis of this idea is that everything belongs to Krishna. So that's the start of the Ishupanishad. Ishuvasya idam sarvam yatkinchat jagajam jagat tena taktena bunjita magrida kashasvitdana. Everything is controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. Therefore I should not claim anything to be my own, but just take what comes as a natural course, and not claim other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So that's humility. Another aspect of humility. But when in the Shikshastika, when I said that we can understand, I'm not very advanced because I don't have that taste for the name. You see? So then that understanding makes us feel humble. Do you see the point? Because it's easy to think, oh, I've been a devotee a long time, I know a little this. A little learning is a dangerous thing. You've heard that expression, right? So you may be a devotee so long, and then people may say, oh, yes, he's a senior devotee. But if you really want to know how much of a senior devotee you are, examine how much you have a taste for hearing and chanting.
Yeah. For the beginners, how much time would it take to see some changes?
Immediately.
Would that be the motivation?
Well, I'll tell you one story. My brother, he came to visit me. This was many years ago in the time of Prabhupada. He came to visit me in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he stayed overnight. So in the afternoon, and when he was there the evening, we were talking and I was trying to explain Krishna consciousness. So anyway, he slept in the ashram. And then he went to Mangal Aarti, and I got him some japa beads, and he chanted, and he did a little service in the kitchen and so on, and he took prasad. And then the next morning, I was talking with him again, and he was asking questions. And he said, "You know what, Kieran," my material name, Kieran, "So you know what, Kieran, yesterday when we were talking I couldn't understand anything you were saying. But this morning I can understand everything." So he went to one Mangal Aarti, one japa period, and he was already getting the mercy of Krishna. So that understanding, that comes by grace of Krishna, you see. So Krishna is looking for an excuse. So therefore, any little application, like Prabhupada used to say, if they just touch the book. Shankaracharya, he used to say you should do three things every day. You should say one name of Krishna, you should read one line of Shastra, and you should perform some charity, some selfless act every day. And he said, this is Shankaracharya. So, you know, covered impersonalist, actually Lord Shiva, Vaishnava Yata Shambhu. He is saying here, bhakti, just do three things, little things, that will save you. What does Krishna say in the Gita? Nahabra krashostin prachavit. A little advancement on this path can save you from the greatest type of fear, right? Trahate mahato bayat. It can, what is that? Prabhupada explains. It'll stop you falling into animal species, you see. So in Harinam Chintamani, Lord Chaitanya, Bhakti Vinod explains in the last chapter that you can spend many lifetimes just going along from, you know, one Vaishnava family to the next. But then he explains, however, if you become determined in one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead. So many people may come to the temple, give a garland, "I love Krishna," yes. Then go back to Delhi and put on the television. So, they're pious souls, they're bhaktas, prakriti bhaktas, no doubt. But they may continue in the cycle of birth and death, you see. So the advancement is up to you. Yayatam mam prapadyan, all of them as they surrender. And just a little advancement, little touch, that can save you from birth or death. So if you chant, you experience that, right? But the mind is habituated to material activity, you see. So the mind is always saying, "Yeah, do that tomorrow." So therefore, sadhu sangha, association of devotees, is important. Because then we become inspired, and we follow the leader. You know, we're tatastha shakti. We become affected by association. When you're a powerful bhakta like Prabhupada, he went to New York, very materialistic place, unaffected. But when we're beginning platform, we should stay and we should associate with devotees. And we should associate with this in mind. This is what Krishna said to in the Uddhava Gita. He said that if you meditate on all living entities as the part and parcel of Krishna, then envy towards them, you know, bad feeling towards them melts away. Of course, you have to be an established in devotion. So we have to be devoted to Krishna, but then we have to come to the understanding that everybody is part of Krishna, like I said in the class. And that brings us from neophyte stage to Madhyamadhikari. And once we actually start bhakti from the point of nishta, overcoming anatta, this like and dislike platform, friend and enemy, attraction and repulsion, this duality of the material world, once we see everything as Krishna, vasudeva savamiti samahatma sadurabaha devim prakritim ashrita, then we can actually enter the spiritual energy. And devim prakritim. So what is a mahatma? Mahatma man patha devim prakritim ashrita. He's situated in the spiritual energy. He's situated above duality of the material world, like and dislike. So it's not difficult to come to that platform if we take shelter of the Acharya, you see, Guru Ashraya. And we're very fortunate. We shouldn't think, oh, but that means Diksha. No. Bhakti Siddhanta made a list of Shiksha Gurus, great Acharyas. The path of Rupa Raghunath emphasizes Shiksha. You see, Diksha is part of that, but Shiksha is the main thing. Like Baladev Vidyabhushan, he was initiated in a different sampradaya, but he took shelter of the six Goswamis. He didn't take reinitiation, but he took shelter of the Shiksha. So the Shiksha of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, six Goswamis. What did Gaurkishore Das Babaji say? If you want to be Krishna conscious, just go to the market. You just need 10 rupees or 4 rupees, he said. Buy prarthana. I think that's Narottam Das. He said, Jagannanda Pandit's Prema Vaivarta and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. If you read those three books, so many literatures. But Gaurkishore Das Babaji said, just somebody said, how can I become Krishna conscious? He said, oh, it only takes 4 rupees or 20 paise in those days. Just go to the market and buy 3 books, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Parthana and Prema Vaivarta. And then you can become, if you absorb those three, their summation, that Shiksha. Of course, then you should also study Bhagavatam, Gita, Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Narottam, he wrote one song, didn't he? When will I be hankering to read the books of the Goswamis? I think it's one, I forget the name of the song. So this, to become advanced means to become determined. It's as simple as that. We may be neophyte beginning platform, but today we can become advanced by becoming determined. It's that determination is advancement. Just like in Vilap Kusmanjali, who can say they're more advanced than Raghunath Das Goswami? But he's yearning, crying for the service of Srimati Radharani. So that is the internal cultivation, you see. Yes, we put on tilak and we go to Mangal Arati and we do some service here and there. But within our heart and soul, we should be keeping that hankering. Vipralamba seva. Oh, I don't have attained. I haven't attained Krishna. And then all the acharyas will say, yes, okay, take. You see? But never lose that sense of humility. A little learning is a dangerous thing. As if, say, you learn 10 chords on a guitar, and you think, now I'm a master of the guitar. No, each instrument is unlimited in the variety. That's just a musical instrument. So bhakti is unlimited. So we always maintain a sense of humility. You see? Because if you're actually learning bhakti, then you realize that this subject matter, Janma Karma Tame Divyam, it's unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. Ananta. Clear? So the devotees, they're eternally realizing Krishna. You understand? They're never coming to the end of realization. That's true for the six Goswamis. That's true for Sri Madhuradharani. That's true for Krishna. He becomes Lord Chaitanya. Why? He wants to understand what is attractive in me that Radharani sees. He wants to know himself. So Krishna is saying, I don't even know myself. Right? So it is that humility that is it's not that at the beginning we feel humble. You see? So any other points? Alright, we'll finish at this point then. Srila Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita Sadhu Sangha Ki Jai.